From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 8th day of July 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And then later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Congress thinks CFTC speculative position hearing is a fine idea. The USTR wants to get together with legislators to discuss free trade agreements started under the Bush administration. And the EU will impose duties on imported biodiesel. It's targeted directly at U.S. sources. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then as we close out our program, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat at $4.88.5, up 4.75. September at $5.17.25, up 4.75. And December wheat futures at $5.43.25, 4.75 higher. July corn futures $3.39.25, 3.75 higher. September at $3.25.25, down a quarter. And December futures at $3.34.25, a penny and a half lower. March contract, 3.47.75, down 1.25, and the May corn at 3.56.5 today, a penny and a half lower. July soybean futures, $10.84, down 49.5. The August at 10.15, down 38.5. And September futures at 9.43.5, down 14.5. November soybeans finished the day at $8.92, a loss of 3 cents. January futures, $9 even, down 3/4. And the March contract for 2010 in the bean pit, a 0.25 cent higher at $9.5. July bean meal futures at $3.64.80, down $16.20. July soybean oil at $32.08, down 82. August live cattle futures, 83.35, 85 cents lower. The August feeder cattle at $101.65, down a dollar. And July lean hog futures today, $1.77.5 lower, finishing at 58.92.5. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, a settlement price at $60.14 a barrel in the nearby August contract, down $2.79. August ethanol at $1.48.3, that's 0.3 cents lower. The natural gas at $3.36.1, down 6.8, and the RBOB at $1.63.7 on the lead option, down 9.5 cents. August heating oil, diesel fuel, 6.3 cents lower at $1.53.7, and the August propane futures today at 69.5 cents, down 0.3 cents. Gold futures at $909 are down $19.80 at this hour, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 81.28, down just about 35 points for the day. The U.S. dollar at 80.77 is up 0.06 on the afternoon, and the CRB index at 231.21 is down 14.65 for the day.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight. Partly to mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms, mainly in the eastern parts and western parts of Illinois and then western parts of Indiana. Lows will range from 57 in northeastern Indiana to 65 in western Illinois. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny skies, highs from 80 in northern Illinois to 92 in the western part of the state. We'll have more on the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner. He'll join us closer to the bottom of the hour.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I've got a little something extra for you today. I'll call it From Mumford Hall, at least the hallways of Mumford Hall. Things I've picked up over the last couple of days as I've talked to the professors in Mumford Hall and hit the phone lines just a bit. On the ACRE program, I heard this one from Mumford Hall, so the professors there, and you'll hear a little bit later from them. They're thinking ACRE's still a good idea. Here's one that you can put in your pipe and smoke, I suppose, if you'd like. ACRE will be like GRIP. Everybody will sign up in the second year, and it won't pay out. How about that one? And then on Japanese beetle, I heard this from the entomologist. They're not convinced that anybody needs to really spray for the Japanese beetle, although I'll bet you're getting some pressure on that one. I will talk with Mike Gray next Tuesday morning about that, and we'll hear more from him. But, of course, he's available to you if you'd like to call and talk to him or check him out on the web. Probably the easiest way to do that is to visit the Illinois Bulletin and just type in Illinois, comma, and bulletin into Google, and you'll find the IPM Bulletin online. Speaking of being with us today, online with us from Oakland, Illinois, is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd.
More rain again last night in your area, I take it?
Yeah, we had about a half inch, and I think about three-fourths of Iowa got some rain, and they seem to be fairly generous on the rain forecast for the weekend.
Well, that probably has been putting some of the pressure in the marketplace, the idea at least that a crop that was late getting in, it manages to continue and improve. In fact, the numbers from earlier in the week from USDA and their crop progress reports show that a whole lot of the corn crop was in awfully good condition and better condition at this time this year than it was at last year, and futures managed to go lower. Soybean market was down sharply the last 3 days. Do you have some good reasons why?
Well, the crop rating from the previous week was lower in corn and soybeans, and we do know that the U.S. economy isn't going very well. They had a few minutes ago the chief executive officer of American Express, and it was said, I'd rather do business in India than the U.S., and that shook a lot of the big money people up. They don't see the market bottoming very quickly, and as a result of that, crude oil has basically plummeted, $12 in the last few weeks. The stock market's down over 700 points. Corn's down, basically a dollar. The soybean market's also down. And the commodity funds have been beating up on the marketplace. Now, the good news is wheat in the world is the cheapest in the U.S. The quality seems to be enormous. And the Ukraine is going through a very severe drought, similar to those that we saw in the 70s. So we are starting to see some realization that wheat might be close to a major bottom. That gave the market some support, too.
Well, it gave the market some support. I suppose farmers are calling and awfully worried when they call you at this point. I don't know that you what can you tell them to ease their minds, did you have them positioned for this kind of drop in the marketplace?
Well, we did encourage people to sell out their old crop corn,
right,
and old crop
beans,
and we did do some replacing of some corn and bought some options, sold calls against the long futures. Bottom line is that you have to be a strong holder of commodities at this level. Strong, get some cheap storage. The basis levels are telling us that probably corn is too cheap. This bull spread that's going on in the marketplace now. We are looking at. The futures market does have multiple years of contracts of corn now, and we will, you know, at some point in time, we think that crude oil is probably pretty close to a bottom. Corn's probably pretty close to a bottom as well. The major factor here is that the administration, government, does need to do some things like increase the blend on ethanol. They probably need to go out and buy 300 to 500 million bushels of corn and into the open marketplace to give it some stability. And they still need to focus on getting some of that stimulus package money spent. And those are some of the things that government should do. The Secretary of Agriculture ought to get a little more vocal, get some commodities sold in the world. And those things are open, the door's wide open for him to do some of those things.
But will he do some of those
things? Well, that's Congress needs to push. The farmers need to push. Our farm organizations need to push. And, you know, we are at below the cost of production. And, you know, some of the professors at the land-grant colleges ought to study bugs, but they ought to study prices and get that out as well.
Well, I think they're doing both.
Okay, good. But, you know, they need to bring this up, you know, that prices are below the cost of production. And we need to do something about it.
Well, we can talk to them about that. And I know those of you talk to them about that on occasion, too. I bet we'll hear about it in the future, if not really, really soon in the first place. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report that happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Well, if you get the opportunity, why don't you visit our website? The address is willag.org. There you'll find this program, Commodity Week, an opening, a pre-opening market report, and the midday report with Sue Martin. It's all free. It's all online, and you can listen to it anytime you'd like. Don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter there as well. And there's an Ag Weather podcast at willag.org. If you can't hear us on the radio, you can't get to our website, dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 333-3434. We update it with the numbers from the opening markets and the closing markets and a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Dave's here with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, CFTC Chairman Gary Gensler's decision to hold hearings on whether to place tighter limits on non-commercial traders is winning praise in Congress. Senator Carl Levin, who chairs the Homeland Security Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, which has undertaken several investigations of the impact of speculation on commodity markets, said, quote, "It's a relief to know that the Obama administration does not plan to stand by silently while inflated crude oil prices top $70 per barrel, despite ample oil supplies and low demand." And Senator Byron Dorgan, a longtime CFTC critic, said if these hearings lead to rigorous federally imposed position limits across all markets on oil speculators looking for a quick buck at the expense of American consumers, then that will be action I can applaud. U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk today is meeting with Democratic lawmakers who requested a get-together to express their concerns about pending trade deals. Several of the key Democrats in the House are urging President Barack Obama to rethink U.S. trade policy before he pushes for congressional approval of trade pacts that his predecessor, George Bush, negotiated with Colombia, South Korea, and Panama. Many Democrats are unhappy about manufacturing job losses that they blame on trade pacts like the North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada and Mexico. They say Congress should not approve similar agreements without labor safeguards and better environmental standards. U.S. officials say President Obama will deliver a speech soon outlining his views on trade policy. European Union nations decided Tuesday to impose anti-dumping duties on U.S. biodiesel imports, which are suspected to be heavily subsidized. The proposal by the European Commission was adopted by the 27-country bloc's financial ministers at a meeting in Brussels. The duties, to come into force by July 12th, range from 23 euros to 41 euros per 100 kilograms and would last for up to 5 years. It was estimated in January that U.S. exports of a particular biodiesel blend known as B99 has surged by 40% in 2008 compared with 2007, which is said is threatening the viability of European producers. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program, The Closing Mark Report, and of Commodity Week. You can find both of them online and listen to them in their entirety anytime you'd like all the agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media, at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now up next, you know the Farm Doc team at the University of Illinois has posted a series of articles, spreadsheets, and presentations on the web to help farmers decide whether or not to enroll in the federal government's new ACRE program. I'll have more on the decision and the tools.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Farmers and landowners can find the ACRE decision tools on the FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. FarmDoc is all one word, F-A-R-M-D-O-C. Now, the Ag Economists at the University of Illinois have been collectively analyzing the program and its merits. In general, they believe ACRE to be worthwhile and that signing up this year offers the best opportunity for payback out of the program. Especially, says U of I Extension Farm Management Specialist and FarmDoc team member Gary Schnitke, given the lower price of corn coming out of USDA's June 30 acreage report.
If we had looking at lower 2000 prices in 2009 for the 2009-10 crop, that will increase the chance of getting a payment under ACRE. But it's not likely to result in a payment under the countercyclical program because we would have to have corn prices in the below 233, so we're not likely to get down there, but we've increased the chance of seeing an ACRE payment, so it shades it more towards taking ACRE
as opposed to staying in the traditional farm programs offered by the U.S. government for corn, wheat, and soybeans.
And the decision sort of works this way: you can move into ACRE any year you want to between now and 2012, but you can't move back to the traditional program. If you move to ACRE, you give up 20% of your direct payments, which on most Illinois farms is $4 to $5. If you believe 2009 was going to be a high price year and good yields, you probably would be more likely to stick with the traditional program. That way you didn't give up your $4 or $5.
2009 is quickly shaping up to be a low price year for corn and wheat. Soybean is still debatable. And depending on where the corn is grown, could be a less than spectacular yielding year too. Here's what the farmer landowner gets in return for giving up 20% of the direct payment and potentially gets back for enrolling in the ACRE program this season.
Again, what we see in general with ACRE is that if you switch to ACRE, you give up $4 to $5 in direct payments, but you increase your chance of an ACRE payment or on that state revenue versus a countercyclical program. And over time, we would expect that ACRE payment to be much larger than that $4 to $5 you give up in direct payments. When it happens, ACRE payments on corn, given history, will average about $50 an acre. So, and they'll happen in about 30% of the years.
It's important for producers to remember that ACRE is based on FSA farms, and not all their land will need to be enrolled in the program. Given a choice, Schnitke says he would enroll high-yielding corn ground first, followed by wheat, and then soybean. The more often a farm is planted to corn, the better. Tools and information farmers and landowners can use to help them make the ACRE decision are online at the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, one quick correction there. The address that I gave you at the end of that story isn't quite right. It's not illinois.edu. That's the new domain name for the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. But the FarmDoc website hasn't been updated to it yet, so it's still farmdoc.uiuc.edu, which stands for University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, or uiuc.edu. Otherwise, you can just search Google for FarmDoc and Illinois, and you'll find it. Speaking of finding folks, I have found on the line on this Wednesday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report, Matt Blaisdell. He's at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, at their Climbers facility. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about basis in your area and how it's reacted over these first 3 days of the week.
Yeah, it seems like corn basis has really started to catch a little bit of fire. I think it started on the eastern side of the state, where we have a little more concentration of ethanol plants and end users of corn, and I think it's kind of knocking on our doorstep here. We've been hanging steady at 10 under the SEP since rolling our bid to the SEP from the July here late last week, but it seems like really, to get corn moving, you probably have to be about the 3 to 5 cents higher than that, and that's kind of what we're seeing on the western or the eastern side of Indiana already.
And how soon do you think you'll catch up with them?
You know, if I had a guess here, I'd see our bid, you know, kind of going up here a couple cents by the end of the week, early next week, and then kind of just playing that. But we've actually, you know, they're kind of coming in our draw area, so that makes us look towards the west, and really, you know, you go past west of Climbers here, and we were able to pull corn from that direction. But do see bases here keep, you know, kind of going up here, probably topping out here in the next 2 weeks. It seems like most producers in our area are ready to pull the trigger. And if we get through pollination without any problems, it seems like they're ready to unload this crop, kind of regardless of what the cash market does.
And speaking of that, the folks out in Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska will be a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ahead of us. Are they, from your vantage point, getting ready to unload too and starting that process?
Yeah, it seems like some of the guys I've talked to is that they've already started that out there. You know, things look good. Of course, we want the cash price a little higher than that, but things look good, and this out seems like out there we aren't starting to see some movement, and I think we'll probably see that in the next week or so.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That is Matt Blaisdell. He's with the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner.
It's Macaroni Day. On this day in agricultural history, in 1568, William Turner died, an English naturalist and botanist. Turner is known as the father of English botany. In 1752, Joseph Marie Jacquard was born, a French silk weaver. He is the inventor of the Jacquard programmable power loom. The machine was controlled by perforated control cards and was the basis for the modern automatic loom. In 1862, the first Land Grant Act was passed. Public lands were sold for agricultural education. This was the start of many state universities throughout the United States, including right here at the University of Illinois. In 1928, Otto Friedrich Rottweiler perfected the bread slicing machine that he began work on in 1912. The first piece of sliced bread was produced and sold at M.F. Bench's Chillicothe Baking Company on Elm Street in Chillicothe, Missouri. And in 1936, Henry F. Phillips patented the Phillips head screw and screwdriver. By the way, General Motors was convinced to use the screws on its 1936 Cadillac. And by 1940, virtually every American automaker had switched to Phillips screws. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City joins us. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Rainfall earlier in the week here, a little bit last night here, and again during the day here. Was that expected, and will it continue?
Well, it was expected, and it will continue periodically. We seem to be in a very highly favored weather pattern right now. And many areas in the Midwest will see showers and thunderstorms coming and going as we go through this next 10-day period. Some may not be quite as fortunate as your area right there, but I think that most everybody will get enough precipitation over the 10-day period to prevent them from becoming excessively dry. And that's pretty important at this time of the year, obviously, since we're trying to reproduce some of the crops, maybe not so much in Illinois and Indiana, but out in the western Corn Belt and a few areas outside of that region. There is some pollination getting ready to take place. So it's going to be prime time in the old city, so to speak, and we are expecting a favorable result from the reproduction period because of the showers and thunderstorms coming up. The high pressure ridge that everybody's been talking about off and on through the last few weeks has yet to really move into the Midwest and dominate, and it will not. It should not. Let's put it that way. The ridge should come in every once in a while and give us some warm weather, but more times than not, it'll be off to our west, producing a northwesterly flow pattern aloft and generating these periodic showers and helping us to stay in a milder-than-usual summertime pattern.
Well, speaking of milder-than-usual summertime patterns, I was looking at some of the temperatures maybe in the growing areas in the northeastern part of China, and it looks like they're fairly mild at this point, too.
They are. In fact, they've been cool for a longer period of time than we have here. And their degree day accumulations are definitely behind the norm, so some of their crops there will require a longer period of time to finish out the reproductive and filling processes and to avoid the early season frost and freezes. China, like North America, has seen a lot of cooler than usual conditions this particular year, and it looks like that trend is going to be locked in place for a while. But outside of that, there's plenty of moisture going on in northeast China to support the reproductive processes when we get to that point. And the only problem in China right now is actually in the Yellow River Basin, which is still an important agricultural area, but not quite as important as those northeast provinces that you referred to. But there is still some problem with moisture shortages in that Yellow River Basin right now, and there is a definite need for greater rainfall.
Can you take up the winter wheat growing regions of the globe?
Certainly. Most of the harvest areas in Europe are seeing some favorable weather right now. France is well underway in its harvest, and weather conditions are mostly favorable. Germany will be next on the list, and they are expecting to see a fairly good harvest as well. Although Germany has been fairly wet here in the last couple of weeks, they do need to dry down for a little while. Further to the east in the former Soviet Union, most of the spring grains are doing fairly well, except for a small region from eastern parts of Ukraine into Russia's lower Volga River basin. This area is very dry, and it's not only hurting some of the spring grains, but it's also hurting sunseed and soybeans and corn, and so there'll be some reduction in yield in those areas. Outside of that, of course, Canada is the other sore spot in the world. Most of western Canada has been suffering from long-term drought this year. They got some rain in the last 48 hours. They'll get a little bit more coming up here in the next 24, and then they'll turn drier again.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. I'm Todd Gleason. That's the Closing Market Report.